Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and I'm Dr. Lisa. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, the best radio station in the Western Hemisphere. I've checked. I've listened to all of them, and this is definitely the best. And I'm just going to say right away, you know, I have a big crush on our intern who's here helping us today, Ben Lewis. Say hi, Ben. Here, come here. He's really cute. How old are you? Oh, you're 26?
Yes,
are you single? Are you straight?
Yes, I'm straight.
And are you single?
No, I'm not single.
Oh, shit. Okay, just say hi. Say hi into the mic.
Hey, everyone.
So in order to keep helping us have cute guys hanging around all the time, you should give us some money. You know, I mean, like, free speech is really important. So please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/donate or slash pledge, whatever, and give us like any kind of money, any kind, you know, because to tell you the truth, this is a good way. By supporting us, you are actually supporting everything that you believe in, really. I also just wanted to let you know that I had a really great moment today, and I want to remind people that you don't really need therapy. You know, the best thing you can do for yourself is give. Because I'm trying to make this not a long story. Anyway, at work, I got this expensive baby toy that I had absolutely no use for, and I dragged it home, and I gave it to some woman with a stroller, an age-appropriate child in a stroller, and I stopped her on the street. She didn't look like she had a lot of money, and I said, excuse me, I got this at work. Can I give this to you? Right on the, like, 10 minutes ago on my way here. And I am going to feel so, that was so, like, I feel like in the most bullshit way, that was a selfish move. But it did for me, because I felt so good. And, you know, I did have to do something. I did have to schlep the thing home. Like, I did make an effort, not a huge one, but the reward, I made a little tiny effort, and the reward was so much bigger. And I always think that if you can't afford therapy, volunteer. Like, for whatever your issue is, like, if you think you're really smart or not smart enough, volunteer with intellectually challenged people. If you think you're a shitty cook or a great cook, or you food is an issue for you, volunteer at a food shelter. Volunteering is actually a lot more work and a lot harder than therapy. But if you've got that hour a week, give it away. If you can't afford to go to a therapist, or you know, don't know a good one. So I just want to say that. And in that spirit, I am very, very excited. And this is actually this is going to be a very selfish show for me, I think, because I have a professional creative coach on the show. And she's a very well-known, very experienced coach, Rati Gorfin.
Gorfin.
Hi, Rati.
Hi.
Let's make sure that, you know what? Ben, will you adjust the mic, please? Get on it. Adjust her mic. Her mic. Make sure it's close to her mouth.
One thing I will say is you must treat your volunteers kindly.
Really? Ben, can I?
You know, it's like also like when you're in a restaurant, you don't want to be mean to the waiter.
That's my form of affection. Ben,
okay.
Ben, you've known me for 10 minutes. What do you think? Do you get that? You're all right. You're all right with it? Yeah. You don't, Ben, do you feel like running out of the room yet?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Did you hear that, guys? Okay. Okay, sit down, Ben. Relax, because I'm nervous. I'm nervous enough already.
Okay.
And you're distracting me. I'm sure he has a lovely, your girlfriend's great, right? She's great. How long have you guys been together?
Five years.
I'm not getting in the middle of that.
No.
I don't have a chance with
bad karma.
No.
You don't want to do that.
Well, I don't have a chance. I mean, the fact that I'm married.
Yeah.
To an age-appropriate man. And a lovely guy. So here's the thing about Rati that I want you guys to know. She is, like, there is a category of professional creative coaches, and she's a leading expert in that category. And she started doing it in 1995, and then in 2003, she started doing it for money. So she had a lot of experience. She obviously is talented at this because she didn't just like go like, hey, I think I'm going to make a living as a creative coach. She kind of fell into it. So we are all very, very, very fortunate to have her here today. She's also studied acting at NYU Tisch School of the Arts, which is like the best school in the country, one of the best? The best?
Yale used to be.
Yeah, so, and I just want to let you know that if you want to learn more about her, you might want a session, but also her blog is incredible, and you can just learn a lot just by going to her website, and she has an entrepreneur club, stuff like that. You creative people, this could be really great for you if you go check it out, okay? So it's creativecallingcoaching.com, and in order to get, if you want to just send her an email, just write support@creativecoaching.com.
Creative Calling Coaching. Support at creativecallingcoaching.com.
Okay, thank you. Well, I got your name. I got your first name right.
You got my first name, which nobody does.
Ratis. So I'm ahead of the game.
You are.
And I also, before we get started, I have a third party endorsement, which are always the best. And this kind of sums up, I think, what Rati can offer to all of us. Okay, so, an independent artist, primary solo creator whose initials are KA wrote in, I'm so glad I found Creative Calling Coaching. My sessions with Rati have been insightful, wise, and to the point. Her expertise in assisting me to stay on track, which is no big small thing for all of us, and make creative breakthroughs has been a real gift. So, I mean, that's like, okay, I'm done talking about this because I want to get as much out of Rati as I can while we're here. So, Rati, will you describe, I thought we would start off by you have a fairly interesting, who are your clients?
Well, I like to say that my clients are scattered creative entrepreneurs who I help focus so they can grab the focus of others and get work done and make more money.
So do you think that most creative people have, like, you're talking about things like ADHD, either literal ADHD or people like somebody like me might say, I try not to use it because I take ADHD seriously, but
sure.
People use that as a term and we all know what it means. Is that what
you're... What I'm realizing is in listening to other coaches and getting to know my, quote, competitors. No, frankly, they are my competitors. What makes my clients different is that they are very courageous in that all the creatives I work with have some sort of challenge, whether it's an autoimmune disease or they have ADHD or they're struggling with depression. They're doing something and they are ready to say, fuck it, I'm going to do my thing anyway. And that makes them very, very brave in my mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody that does anything creative, you know,
well,
puts himself
yes.
out
but
there.
But then can you imagine, when you have those added elements of what some people even call a disability, and you don't let those reasons become excuses.
Well, in some
awesome.
Ways, they can be a benefit, right? Because they give you a special...
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have one client who, because of his ADHD, became extremely successful in a non-creative field. But what he really wanted was to say something as an artist. And he didn't really know what kind of artist. So that was our work. And now, you know, he's a graphic novelist. And,
really?
Yeah. And
like a success, like he's yes, sold, he has
he's,
sold.
He's got stuff,
wow.
stop motion stuff online, and he's doing merchandising of the characters, but he didn't know what he was going to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that must be so gratifying.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
But do you think, I mean, there's always this thing that creative people are all like kind of deranged in their own way or have problems. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think it's the well. I
or
know.
Do you think
I
you
think
need?
So.
When,
I think,
you
no.
Think
I don't
need
think
that?
You have to work out of your pain if that's what you're asking. I don't think you do. I think a lot of people use that for fuel, but it can only take you so far. It's not,
I agree.
You know,
you know what? I agree, because at the end of the day, it's really doesn't it? Like, I think it comes a lot down to discipline. Do you?
Yeah, that's a dicey word for me. Discipline.
Oh, why?
I think it has to do with what you want and really wanting it enough to be uncomfortable.
But
if I think about you got to be disciplined, I just want to go back to bed. That's
oh, okay. Well, I guess,
I'm careful
what,
with
I
that
guess
word.
What I think is, like, for example, if I'm doing a live show, you know, at a venue,
yeah.
And I'm producing it and hosting it, say.
Sure.
There's a lot of work I don't want to do. I
oh,
want to
yeah.
do the show more than I want to not do the work. So I'm saying I think the discipline, forcing myself to do the emails and all that with the posts, the social media crap, disciplining myself to do that is what makes, ultimately, that's the hard part of making the show a success.
Yeah, well, what I find is, you know, in a way, artists are inherently disciplined because the odds are so not in their favor, and yet they will overcome lack of income and whatever it is to make their work and get their work out. So they are inherently disciplined in those ways, many of them doing shit that they really don't want to do.
Mm. Well, that's a refreshing, positive spin. I like that.
Yeah.
So, Rati, see, I'm really nervous about your name.
That's
so
okay.
But it's not personal to you. I'm just like that in everybody's name.
Just don't say ratty and
no,
we're fine.
No, no. It's my self-critical impulses coming out, so I'd rather just like call them out, make it not personal, and
fine.
Just make a joke out of it, sort of. You know,
yeah, I get you.
It's a quirk. It's a quirk I have. One of my many.
Yeah.
One of my less annoying quirks, believe it or not. Talk to my husband about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had asked you before we went on air just a few minutes ago. Like, I said that I would like to hear from you. We know each other very peripherally. Like, we have an impression of each other.
That's right.
Yeah. And even in this last 5 minutes, that impression has probably even deepened.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
So I, just background, folks, Rati did this excellent job of actually sending out a newsletter and including that we were going to be on the air today. And she wrote about me, Lisa Levy is a wonderfully wacky and prolific artist, so I'm appropriately nervous in a good way, like getting on a roller coaster. So first of all, I'm making a little collection of things that people say to help my self-esteem, and that's going in there. So I was like, the word prolific, really, because I always think I don't work hard enough, stuff like that. So that, like, really, like, I am prolific. I'm making a t-shirt. Or maybe you could make it for me.
Well, it's you keep reading that thing every day.
I am holding on to that.
Please.
But also, conversely, I was surprised that you were nervous at all.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you, because this is an opportunity, and I don't know why the hell anybody wouldn't put it out on their newsletter and say they're going to be doing this.
See that?
I mean, come on,
that's
people. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. And so, fuck you, all my previous guests. Fuck you. This is a creative calling coach expert, and she's putting it out there, and she thinks it's important to do.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Are you kidding? I have been really grateful to have every, like, that's the best part. I mean, that was a little outrageous and obnoxious comment on my part. What do you think,
Ben? Don't apologize.
Ben?
You're
think?
A wacky and prolific artist.
What do you think, Ben? Do you think that was offensive? You think it's a radio? It's okay.
Well, you know what? I think it was tough love. I think it was tough love.
Okay. Oh, I love this. I love this, Rati. So anyway, so we have a, and you also, just to give the full background, had a radio show in season one for a little bit with the station, and we met then, and I wanted to get you on the show at that time, but you had a client, a regular client during this time slot.
That's right. Couldn't do it.
So we're here. We're here today. So what I was thinking would be really interesting is, for me particularly, would be to as I said to Rati, that we were going to talk about what your impression of me is and what you would prescribe or what your thoughts are to help me as a creative person.
Okay. Well, when I work with people, what mm-hmm. I always ask them, first of all, is what do they want? What do you want?
I want, my strategy is very clear to me now. It's that I want my work not to get thrown away after I die.
Oh, okay. That's clear. Do you know, and here's the thing, I mean, this isn't coaching, this is consulting, but coaches happen to consult sometimes. I don't hold back. You know, I think the Actors Fund actually has some information about a foundation that helps artists make sure that their work is preserved after they die. So if
yeah,
they're not
but
famous,
but
you
no,
know,
no, whatever. But I mean, where people care enough about it.
I see what you're saying.
That people care enough about my work.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, she looks sad. Oh, that's
no,
never going to
no,
happen.
I'm just chewing on that. Because what I'm hearing is some, you know, I don't know you that well. You're right. So do you want this to happen before you die or after you die?
I don't really care, but I use that as a strategy because I'm a short-term goal and long-term goal person. So mm-hmm. that's my long-term goal.
Sure.
I would say the biggest problem I have, though, creatively is time. Mm. And I'm very torn between my performing projects and my visual art projects. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I put all my eggs in the visual art basket, that would move along a lot faster. And if I put all my eggs in the performing art basket, that would move along faster. And I'm really kind of split. Mm-hmm. I've always been a visual artist. And I've always been interested in writing's always been like my first art project at 3 and a half. I actually wrote a book called, a little tiny book called Wilford's Birthday. And I had Wilford's birthday party, and I had my dad write. I drew the pictures, and my dad wrote the text as I dictated it because I wasn't old enough to write. Yeah. So I've always liked that.
Well, you know, I'm hearing somebody who works well in collaboration, and I bet you finished that project.
Well, I mean, it was a little book that
yes,
I did,
a
in like
book
a,
that you,
you
did.
Know,
yeah.
as a child.
Well, the key is completion. Are you finishing things?
I think so.
Well, that's big. A lot of people come to me because they can't.
Oh.
They keep bouncing back and forth thinking whenever they're in one place, they think they should be in another place, and then they're in that place, and they should be back where they were before.
Well, I think, you know, for me, the hard part is I have a lot of projects that I want to do.
Yeah.
And recently I took a part-time job. I hadn't worked in a few years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had done nothing but work. You know, I had a job as an art director in advertising, and then I would do my work on nights and weekends. And
right, right.
Until a few years ago, and then I didn't work for a while, and I did all my art, and it really, like, helped that a lot, really moved a lot, moved the ball forward enormously for me relatively to where I was before.
Mm-hmm.
And now, just since January, I'm working, like, 20 hours a week, you know, including commuting and all that. So it's, I'm having trouble. I'm trying to figure out how valuable, like, what the impact is. But also, part of my problem is that I have a lot of ideas and a lot of things I want to do. And it's sort of like getting the ones that I think are the most valuable to rise to the top right. of the mm-hmm. pile.
If I were to work with you, for instance, you know, because mm-hmm. we're not, we won't get this all done today, I'm
yeah,
afraid.
No. I mean, no, I'm just... We are scratching
yeah,
the tip of the
of
iceberg.
Course.
Is that the
but,
expression?
But you know, I would need all of that. We would need to get it all out on mm-hmm. paper. All these projects, we need to look at them and concur. Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time, now you've got this part-time job. That's like a real patron of your art. So now, do you feel pressure to make sure you use your other time really
yeah, it's
well?
Helping
right.
me with that. Yeah, I
it's
think
helping.
It's helping
Good.
Me with that. Because I was getting up, I'll be honest, I was getting up at like 9:30 every day, which,
yeah.
I mean, it's not horrible, but
I know what you
I
mean.
Could do better.
Right.
Yeah, now I get up at, you know, 7:30.
And what difference has that made starting just to get up earlier? Is that to get to the job, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, I get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you have that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you
gives
know.
Gives you some
I
structure.
Mean, yeah, I mean, I've always had, like, when I wasn't, like, this this radio show gives me some structure.
That's right.
As it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always had that. I was the advice columnist for the Bushwick Daily before the radio station, you know, jobs where, you know, that aren't about money, but just about structure.
Right.
So I've always had some of that, but now I have more.
And so you have the structures you have, and what, and do you have a place in your life where it's time to do deep work?
Well, I have a project I want to do, a project for a gallery in November, and I have the date and the project in mind, but okay. That's recent, so I'm going to do that. And I just confirmed a showcase, a Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit showcase at Footlight on July 26th.
Awesome.
So I've got those two things coming
up. So you work well with deadlines. It sounds like deadlines are key. They are for most people.
As an art director, I mean, you know, creative person on deadlines. But yeah. I also think that I don't like to work on things if, well, I do a lot of, I do have a lot of things. I have little things going on, too, that I'm trying to get to. Like I'm editing a short for something. And
now, what it just occurred to me as we're chatting, usually, just so people know, when I coach someone within the context of a little session, this like a little laser session like this, I will ask, what do you want just from today? Just from this conversation today, what would you like to walk away with?
I think I would like your perspective on how I'm doing.
Oh, that's easy enough. That's easy. So you want to be validated, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, that's my whole life. I just want to be validated.
All right, so if I were to work with you, obviously, the work would be getting that validation on the inside.
Yeah, clearly. But that's impossible.
Well, you
that's
know,
what I've spent my whole life doing.
You know what? It's you believe it's impossible.
No. It's not impossible.
Is it a pattern you've ever tried to disrupt?
Yes, I'm working on it now by I'm making a project, third party endorsement, where I'm writing down.
I think that's great. And I think that part
and it's actually
that is
helped.
Brilliant. And you know what, though? You want to use, like when I said before, the thing I wrote about you, I wrote it because that's how I see you.
Really?
I
so how do you see me? Enough. I do want to know that.
I see you as someone who's created a lot of work in a lot of different mediums.
Really?
Who's a personality. And is, you know, very much a loose cannon, and that's part of your brand, and you're very funny, right? And the thing about it is, when you start to spiral, okay, we're going beyond the validation now, because I'm giving that to you.
No.
The only thing about validation is, I could do this till I'm blue in the face, but is it landing?
No, I get that, I get that.
Is
I
it
get,
landing,
I get
Lisa?
That, I get that. But we're going to have this.
You know what?
Say this back
to me. Tell me what I just said about you.
Okay, well, first of all, you said I was prolific, a wild card funny, that I work in all different mediums. Is that good?
Yeah, and wait a minute. So that's very good. You're mirroring back what I said, but can you now empathize with why I say that and see it?
No. See, what I'm getting out of that is...
Yeah.
And I'm very aware of this, right? Because I'm doing this project, third party endorsement. So
yeah.
I'm very aware of it. So I get that. And I'll forget it, but I will forget it. I mean, it won't. It's really hard for me to internalize it.
Right.
I won't. I mean, I have it on tape. I can play it back.
Good.
The fact that we're even having this conversation in the moment, like today, is helping me. This is helping me right now.
I know.
In the big picture.
I can see. Yes, that's right.
So I'm.
Because this is all there is this moment
now. And I engineered this. So
yes,
I'm
you
taking
did.
Credit. I got you on here and I got you to say all those things about me on the radio.
You are a very powerful dame.
Yeah, thank you. There we go.
I mean, I have a little agenda here. And the point is that when you find yourself getting into like a mental habit, like all of a sudden you're not in touch with your, you know, what makes you great and special. That is the moment to pause, and that's the moment for, okay, what do I need to do not to... Because what you pay attention to grows. So
mm-hmm.
once you notice you're paying attention to something that sucks,
mm-hmm.
The trick is learning to stop and choose. Now, what would I rather pay attention to? I think I'm going to read that quote again. I'm going to remember that thing they said, that Rati said, right? But it is like working out. Really, because the neurotransmitters in your brain have been firing a certain way for your entire life.
Right, right. So that makes sense to me because in my end of the business, which is, you know, pretend therapy or whatever, I have more, whatever. I'd say I should take more credit. See how I say that
it's
and I'm already
thing.
Putting myself
That's part
in.
Of your, it's funny, it's interesting for you because it's part of your edge at the same time.
What do you mean?
So, well, you know, that self-deprecating, invalidating, making fun of yourself thing is part of, you know, it's part of your humor. But then what happens if you let it go?
Oh, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Believe you me.
Some people are afraid to let go of their pain because they think they just won't have a creative edge anymore.
No, I'm over that.
Yeah?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. First of all, without digressing too much, I was in a week inpatient study on depression in 93 at Mount Sinai Hospital. And I had that conversation after the meeting with all the experts.
Right.
And that question came up. And it's like that was the last time that question has ever come up because, you know, most people are more creative when they feel good and more productive when they feel good.
Well, Jackson Pollock, that's when he did his great work. And then when he went back to drinking, not only did it eventually end his life, but, you know, he couldn't do his work.
Well, it's also, but you can also say Jackson Pollock did his great work. But as an artist, your great work is the work that you feel most connected to, if you ask
Absolutely.
Me. And the work that really moves you into a better place. And that did not work
That's
for him.
Right. Because,
so,
no. Well, you know,
his most famous work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there are stereotypes. What
there
can
are.
I say?
People say if Van Gogh wasn't crazy and cut off his ear, then he wouldn't be Van Gogh. You know, I know there are people who say that shit.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe I don't, you know, we'll never know.
Actually, I'm just going to digress even further for another second.
This is a very important subject, though.
I know because, no, but this is a question that I was going to ask you because drugs and alcohol, I think, are an interesting, like, are drugs and alcohol bad? How much drugs and alcohol for creative people who love drugs and alcohol, which is pretty much those things go together a lot. And Ben, have you ever smoked pot or anything? Smokes pot have you had a drink or two?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben looks like fun. Ben, when are we hanging out? Ben, when are we going to party, man? Maybe you can invite your girlfriend. She's probably a lot of fun too. Rati, you up for this?
Oh,
we're all going out.
I have to look at my schedule because if I party, I have to clear my schedule.
Okay. Well, we'll clear your schedule. Rati's going to be really busy for the next 2 weeks, folks. So anyway, but my point is that, you know, drugs and alcohol are always out there. I mean, I like to smoke pot and I like to drink. I respect it. I am careful about it, I think, sort of. I have an eye on it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say that I don't do it at all. Or I'm definitely not going to be saying that. And there are a lot of people who are my guests on the show who I think would be more productive. This is me judgmental, and I don't have anybody in mind, but I have had a bunch of different people in different ranges of drugs and alcohol, and there are people who will admittedly say that it's getting in the way of their work. I'm not talking about any judgment or anything. I'm talking about being a productive, creative person and having drugs and alcohol get in your way.
You know, everybody is different, but what I like to say is there's usually one thing that if you change that one thing, everything else falls into place. Now, I'm self-employed, like you, and I was having a real time doing my work all night and then getting up really, really late, and it was feeding into my depression and all of this, and I thought at first, well, I'm getting my work done, fuck it. But I said, well, but if I could just get up early,
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be able to ground my day. You know, there's some people call this bookending. You know, your ritual in the morning and your ritual at night are the two things you have control over.
Mm.
So I would be able to get up and do my meditation, do my journal, do my stuff in the morning that grounds me if I get up early. And then I've got, you know, I'm set for the day. So that's the one thing that I've changed that's made the most difference, getting up early. I still drink wine. Mm-hmm. I will occasionally eat the, you know, the occasional
hot cookie.
Hot cookie.
Rot to your
recreational cookie.
She must be a good coach then.
If I didn't have asthma, I'd, you know, smoke a pipe. But I,
right.
But I'm very aware of how those things affect me. I'm very aware. You know, it's like being an athlete. You know, I'm not. You just have to know yourself and be honest with yourself. And that's one of the things I do is I call people out.
Right.
Because you're not being real with yourself.
Oh, so if you find one of your patients or clients.
Clients.
I like to call my people patients.
Yeah, well.
It's more fun for me, but anyway.
Well, you can. Yeah.
So if you find, you will just call them out.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You'll say you're smoking too much pot and that's your problem.
I will have a conversation around the pot. And usually people who come to coaching want to be real and want to change. And they will come to that. They will come to that realization and will create a plan around it.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you know, when people keep cycling back to the same shit over and over, that's when I send them to therapy.
Right, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So, yeah, you've got an out on that.
I do.
Yeah, no. I suppose you can say that, but you know,
it's two different things. Therapy and coaching are different. I think of therapists as being like car mechanics and coaches. Well, I get in the car and I help you drive it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know? I get it.
No, that's a really good point. But once again, I want to come back to my point.
Oh, yes.
Which was discipline.
Yeah.
Because the importance of discipline, because this is something, I mean, I've obviously got in my head too, but about me. But when you talked about getting up every morning, now that was discipline.
Yeah.
That was the hard part. And that's what really helped you. And
you know what helps me? First of all, there are two things that help with discipline, if you use the word discipline. I think discipline is doing things so you don't experience pain, or doing things so that you could have something you really want.
Right. Right.
That's all discipline is.
Right. And so, anyway, I'm just trying to, I gotta do another station ID, but I just want these people out here to know it's not all fun and games, okay? It fucking
sucks.
You
want to make art, don't you?
You want to make art. You know, it's not all fun and games.
No.
You know, and it's not waiting. I mean, as an art director, you know, you learn that being a professional creative person is being able to create on time and create on a deadline. And that has helped me more than anything
as a creative person. Mm.
And those aren't you fucking artists out there who are like sitting around going, I'm waiting for my inspiration to strike. You're losers.
No.
Losers.
Yeah, you got to say, now who's there? There's some famous, I know you have to do a station ID. Go ahead. I'll give the quote afterwards.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to have Ben do the station ID.
Oh,
let's have Ben.
He's got a great
voice. You heard what I said, right? Can you do it?
Yeah, I think I can take that.
Okay, just do it. You don't need to say it, honey.
You're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Tell him to donate.
All you listeners out there, make sure you donate by going to radiofreebrooklyn.com/donate.
Awesome. Good job.
Awesome.
Good job.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I love harassing the interns. Sexy voice.
Yeah.
I love it. Are you going to report me to Tom for harassing you? No, you like it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He's cool with it. He's got to be. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in.
Well, you'd be surprised, you know. I mean, it used to be because, you know, we're of the similar vintage, you know.
Oh, we absolutely are.
You know, when we came up, it was like boundaries. What the fuck are those, you know?
Yeah,
I got no fucking boundaries.
Yeah.
And that was like a badge of honor, you know. You'd do anything. You'd take any risk, whether it was worth it or not. And that's gotten me into trouble in a few times in my life.
Yeah, if I lose my show because I'm harassing the intern, oh, well, I guess I'll have to. So what were you going to say?
Yeah,
you were going to finish. We were talking about it. wear a tie?
Well, what I was going to say is there is a famous writer, and of course the Middle Age aphasia, I'm forgetting his name, but people would say, how do you find your inspiration? And he would say, fortunately for me, inspiration strikes at 9 a.m. every morning.
Well,
he would sit down at the fucking desk at 9 a.m. every morning and write. He wasn't waiting for the inspiration to strike.
Right. And a lot of times it's just putting crap out there that you don't think is good in order to get the motor starting.
Making
just do
mess.
Anything. You know what I mean? Like, just.
You know what I think that's about? And this is like a key issue with people is we all struggle with this grandiosity, this secret grandiosity.
Mm-hmm.
That we think we're so fucking great. And the thing is, we know how brilliant this thing in our mind could be, but we don't want to, we want it to be perfect before we even start making it because we might find out we're not so fucking great. We become so attached to the work, we identify with the work so strongly.
So I call that ego problems.
Yeah, that's another word for it. Ego problems.
I think
perfectionism is an ego problem.
Well, I have really strong feelings about that, too, because I think that the more you can get your ego out of the work, the better it is. The better the work's going to be, the better the whole outcome, the better the experience, the more you can get your ego out of it. What do you, you know?
Well, I try to use the language that the client uses. For instance, for you, that's ego.
Mm-hmm.
Ego creates perfectionism in you and probably paralyzes you at times when you, and you have to notice that to drop it, right? And then make a mess and to go through the process.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's, someone else calls it something else, you know? I don't think there's any fixed definition or way to express something.
If I can say this, my husband would say that I don't have enough ego.
Interesting.
Because he would say that I don't try hard enough to sell my work, not to literally sell my work, but like sell my work.
Well, there's a difference between a healthy ego and an unhealthy ego. It's not about quantity.
Well, no, but he's saying it's lack of,
it's not quantity, it's quality of ego.
Right. So if my ego isn't realized enough, I mean, but of course, in certain ways it is, or I wouldn't be standing here. But it's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a part of yourself, you know, that sort of self-aware part of yourself? You know, I have something I call the woman in the mezzanine.
Mm-hmm.
And she, no matter how shitty I feel or whatever, she's the one who can take me in her arms and go, I know it sucks. You're going to be fine. You're beautiful. I accept you. You're terrific. You didn't make a great choice that time, but that's okay. We all have to have, that's the healthy part of the ego, witness.
Yeah, I'm trying to grow that person up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Good.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
You can ask her, what would she say? You create a character maybe even. Like for me, it's the woman in the mezzanine. Hmm. For you, who would that be?
It's like a child. It's like I'm the mother to a child
in
my head.
So what would you as a mother say to the child?
It's okay, honey. It's okay. I do that. I say, it's okay. You screwed that up. That's okay. You're going to be okay. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
I do that.
Good.
I do that. But I don't know.
And when you dream also, I think dreams are very interesting because I think the dream is that witness consciousness way of trying to help you work stuff out.
Oh, yeah. Like last night I had this dream that there was, open call. Like I'm into creative competitions. Mm-hmm. Like that's always like open calls.
Wow,
things.
That's gutsy.
So I once won a contest in 1987 where I beat out 12,500 people and won $83,000 for an advertising idea.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
There you go.
See, that is gutsy.
So I don't see that as gutsy.
Oh my God. You wouldn't enter it? I wouldn't enter it.
Why?
I don't know if I would enter it. Now, me, back in the day, I might have. I did the monologue slam in Manhattan a few times. I did.
I'm from the place
but
where
I find it very, very painful.
I'm such a loser. I've nothing to lose.
See, that's great.
Yeah. So
If that works for you,
it does.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It works really well for me.
All right, then. Good.
But I think it's also
hurting
me.
See, I think you have
me.
A great sense of humor about yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. So anyway, I think that I have a hard time seeing who I am. Uh-huh. Does that make sense to you?
I think we're all working that out. I think that's true.
That's really common.
Because you're inside your own skin looking out. You don't know. You have no control over what anybody else sees. You know?
But I don't have any objectivity. We don't have any objectivity.
We don't have any objectivity.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah. But I think once you know you don't have any objectivity, it's very freeing.
Well, anyway, creative competition. So I had a dream last night that this one artist kept winning these things, and I was really jealous of him. And I remember, like, if I think about it, I could figure out, like, I mean, I knew exactly what the artworks were at the time and why he won and all this stuff, but and why mine wasn't as good and all the shit. But I, first of all, I think it's ridiculous how specific it was. But it also makes me feel like when I woke up, I'm like, I'm spending a lot of time on this part-time job.
Yeah.
And they had a little party last night. And so I actually stayed late and stuff. And I'm spending too much time on this part-time job. And it's holding my work back. I mean, it's very...
Did you get that from the dream?
Yeah.
Interesting. How did you make that connection within the dream?
Because I normally am... like feeling like I have enough balls in the air that I'm not worrying about, like, if one falls, or I'm not worrying about having enough balls. That's a lot of how I think. That's when, like, I'm just realizing this now that you asked me that question, that's a defense I use on myself. I do a lot of projects, or I start a lot of projects because that way, I don't have to worry about the failure, because there's another project. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that one, fuck, that's a failure. Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to deal with not having that many projects, or not having, haven't really done that much creatively, like, in the past couple months because of this job or whatever reason.
So I'm wondering if you know, the you that is in that job was feeling some resentment towards the artists. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah,
which one are you? Who are you in the?
Well,
who's the jealous one, and who's the one doing the work?
Well, you know, both, I guess.
Yeah, I know you both. I got.
Well, what happened was, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was looking through Facebook, and all my big deal. I think big deal. Whatever. You know, everybody's like, there's all these summer show emails going on now. Have you seen them? My summer shows.
Yeah.
And I don't have any summer shows.
There it is. Pretty literal dream.
I know.
You know, it's everybody's A-reel on fucking Facebook. That's what people forget. It's their A-reel. You don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Oh, we're getting a call.
Oh, how exciting.
Hello?
Who's calling? Hello?
Who's this? Can I speak with Evelyn Fang?
Hello? Is this a wrong number? Are you a creative person? I think we're getting... Who is this?
I think you may
it's
have a wrong number.
It's Dr. Lisa. Who's this?
You're on the radio right now. Is that your intention? I guess not.
I love it. Was that
all
you?
About, it's all about intention.
You know what?
You know what I'm saying?
I think Ben had his girlfriend call up and prank us. Is that it, Ben? He's trying to get back at me for sexually harassing him. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop. So anyway, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's see what this
Hello?
Is.
Hello?
Hello? Are you? This is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn. Who's calling?
Do you know anyone called Evelyn Fang?
What's your name?
Evelyn Fang.
Evelyn? I think you have the wrong number, but how old are you? I'm sorry, sweetheart. We're wasting precious air time here. We love you. Dr. Lisa loves you, okay? Bye.
Sorry, I snorted into the thing. Yeah, okay.
All right, well, uh-huh. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we were saying about, what were you talking? Whoa.
You're talking about Facebook and
how people can use it to really feel shitty. So, I've got a saying about that. Do content, less consuming. Make contact, don't
Yeah, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. Because I really think there is a real pernicious thing that's going on with technology, and it is stealing our creativity.
Really? Why? That's so interesting.
It's just sucking our damn creativity. What? Well, you got to be very careful, you know? The first thing you do when you wake up is go to your email or go to Facebook. Just watch how you don't do anything else, first of all, and mm-hmm. how you're having a very hard time self-motivating. It literally, the radiomagnetic energy, it just sucks you out. It just sucks your. I noticed it in myself as a writer.
Okay, so, you know? I mean, it definitely takes your time. There's no question about that, but does it take your creativity away? Tell me about that.
It's a distraction, and it is a distraction that allows us not to confront our creativity.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, first of all, you have to be willing to be bored sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be creative, you have to be willing to be bored, and like we were saying, sit down or stand in front of the mm-hmm. easel or whatever, whether you feel like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a temptation because it is so hyper-stimulating to jump on the web. You know, but we're so used to not being bored anymore. And to having that stimulus, you know, everybody's looking at their phone on the train, you know.
Right.
And she's looking at her phone right now.
I'm looking at it because it's
unbelievable.
No, I'm talking about. I'm looking. I know because somebody was. I was going to have Lucy call in during the show. We only have 10 minutes left.
Oh, okay, call
That's
Lucy.
That's why it was a total work thing.
But go ahead. But that you know.
No, you're right. And look what I did. I got Ben to take his phone out too. Perfect. Yeah. There we go. Demonstration
you
right
there.
You
don't get to confront usually there's something interesting under the boredom.
Oh, so you're saying that people aren't bored enough.
They're not letting themselves
get bored.
Yeah.
You know, I have this continual, maybe you can help me with my personal life. Huh? So I have this continual battle with my husband about that he is not off of his phone for like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten to the point now where, like, if we're watching TV and he's on his phone, I won't watch TV. So he's learned how to, like, not. This is an example of what I mean. So he won't watch. If we're watching TV together for like an hour a night,
right?
He won't be on his phone. But if I get up to get a glass of water, he will be on his phone the minute I leave, the minute I stand up till I come back.
Okay.
So he's pretty obsessive.
Uh huh.
So. And he's supposed to be an artist himself. So I think I keep trying to figure out, like, what bothers me about it, Phil, is that...
I have worked with couples, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we should get you on there.
Creative couples, yeah.
So what bothers me about it is that I feel like he is an artist, and that exactly what you said, I feel like he's not, like when we go someplace, he's not on the planet with me. We are not having an experience together. Like when mm-hmm. there's a sunset, he's also a photographer. He has to take pictures of the sunset. Like it really bothers me.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That we're not there together. Of course, I think the shrink would say it's my problem because.
Well, my thing is about the technology is, you know, it's not allowing you to have your own thoughts.
Right.
It's not allowing you to generate, as you were saying, your own content.
Right.
Because it feels so good to stimulate that part of your brain with the, you know, the shiny object.
So give us some advice. Like, what do you think? I mean, we all need to use social media.
Yeah, we do. That's right.
And so what do you, like...
It's like drinking responsibly.
Yeah, and so what do you consider, like, how do you use it? What do you consider?
Actually, a better metaphor is it's like eating. You have to eat,
mm-hmm.
but if you abuse food, then you're going to hurt yourself, mm-hmm. right?
So how do you know? How do you know when you're? How do you draw the line? How do you know how to draw the line?
Well,
how do you know when?
Well, I say I work out policy manuals with a lot of my clients. It's a personal policy. For instance, it's my personal policy not to check email before 10 o'clock when I've done my meditating and my whatever ablutions and I've done my journaling and I've done my gratitudes, because I find that very important too,
Gratitude's big.
Because that gets you in the moment. If you have to stop and think about what you're grateful for, you're not on your phone and you're not anywhere else but in your life.
Right.
That's my policy. I'm not going to go turn on the computer before that. I'm not going
to
look at it.
Oh, back to the D word.
What's the D word?
Discipline. Yourself not do it.
Yeah, I don't think of it as discipline. I think of it as you got to remember your pain. Pain is a great motivator. I know how shitty I feel.
Huh, that's interesting.
When I just let myself get hijacked by the internet. Like that. It doesn't feel good. You don't feel good afterwards.
Okay,
right?
So say I was going to talk to Phil about that and he wouldn't agree.
Well, again, I mean, I don't know.
Or a lot of people. Well, but, like, let's put it this way. Forget about Phil.
Okay.
Let's say in the world, there are people who are obviously on their phone and it's taking away from their creative work and productivity.
Yeah.
And they don't recognize it.
No, that's
but
right.
But you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all like, that's just something that's happening.
Yeah.
So if people don't think that it's a problem for them, it's hurting them, but they may not know. Is that it? Because they don't get, like, if you eat too much, you get fat.
Right.
And then,
some people eat a lot and they are large and they feel very comfortable with that and they're okay with it.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's a problem, it's not a problem.
Right.
It's, it's not for me to lay my thing on somebody and say, you got a problem.
Right, right, right. And that's what I'm doing.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm critical.
Yeah. And I bet you're much harder. I always find that people who are critical, they are really hard on themselves.
Yeah, yeah. No excuse, but yeah.
Right. You know, I will say to people often, if you talk to somebody else the way you talk to yourself, like if you talk to a friend of mine the way you talk to yourself, I would smack the shit out of you. You don't get to talk to my friend like that, right? It makes it easier to be critical when you're so hard on yourself because it just feels normal.
Right. So I have to really, I have to find those, the more compassion I get for myself, the nicer person I'm going to be.
Absolutely. It's such a burden.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm going to work on, I'm going to work on that. I'm working on that.
Listen, we're all a lifelong work in progress,
Thank God. Huh?
Yeah.
Not over yet.
No, it's not.
No, and this is a secret to old age.
Could be over tonight. We don't know.
No, stay engaged, right? Yeah. We're both engaged.
That's right.
We're old people who are both engaged.
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
And that's really, we're growing every day.
It's so hard to hold on to old people. It's relative, I guess. Old, I don't know. I don't think of myself as old. I say my age and it feels so bizarre. It feels like such cognitive dissonance when I say my age. And I'm learning not, I just choose not to say my age right now. But it's like, ooh, you are old. You're fucking old.
It's weird, right?
It is weird.
Right. But you don't look, Ben, we don't look old. No.
What does old look like?
We're like cool ladies.
What does old look like? I mean, it's really in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah,
I had a woman, I guess I would say she looked old, but to me, she looked timeless. She came to I do stoop sales, I sell. My mother gave me, my mother, I politely will call her a collector.
A hoarder.
Yeah. And so I have enough stuff to open a store. So
really?
I have stoop sales.
Oh.
And a woman came and she could have been 100. She could have been 50. I honestly don't know.
Mm-mm. Well,
she was very lived in, but her vitality was so confusing.
I love that. I personally, I don't like confusing how you look with your age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good thing to say to somebody, well, you look great. You look great. For, like if I say my age, well, you look great for your age. I'm not thinking about
it. It's a fucking insult.
Well, I'm not even thinking about what I look like isn't the most important thing.
It's you know like when I got when I got the most compliments on how I looked, you know when that was? It was when I was anorexic.
Really?
Yes, I was. I went through a suicidal, anorexic, depressed phase, which is why I work with who I work with, because I was undiagnosed as bipolar for a long time.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I mean, but I was on the verge of a very dangerous path.
Yeah.
I look at pictures of myself then now, and it's like people were complimenting me like crazy.
Ugh.
How great I looked.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, I used to say, well, finally, I'm industry skinny.
Oh, because you're an actress.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Right?
Horrible. Horrible. But, I mean, the thing is about women and looks. I mean, no matter what age it's, that'll be a whole show.
Oh, yeah.
So
Don't
worry about it, ladies. Mm-mm. Don't worry about it. Just focus on your resources, what you got going for yourself.
Oh,
forget about it. It doesn't, you know.
You're seeing more of that now. You know, there seems to be room for that now.
It's more extreme, more women caring too much about their looks, and then there are women who are able to walk away from that. But
there are a few minutes left.
Can you believe that? Wasn't this fun, Ben? Enjoy this?
I had a great time.
Yeah?
I did.
It didn't get fast.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to. So I want to, we got 3 minutes, so I'm going to read your, you know, website again, and then see if you have final thoughts. How's that?
That's great. Sounds great.
Sounds great. All right. So you can see that Rati really knows what she's talking about, and she could really help you. Is it a sliding? People are going to want to know about the money part. Is it as much as therapy? Can they afford it?
I don't talk about money before I have a consultation.
All right.
It is not
a free consultation.
I have a number of different ways you can work with me.
Free consultation? That's
yes.
all we need to know.
Yeah.
Free consultation.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Do you want me to read the phone number?
Please. 916.
Okay.
Yeah.
You read it. I don't have it.
Oh, yes. If you want to schedule a consultation with me, please call 917-804-9572. That's 917-804-9572, or shoot me an email at support@creativecallingcoaching.com. Creative Calling Coaching is one word, no hyphens or anything.
And
like
what could they get by going to your website? Like, what do you have on your website besides the blog, which I'd love, but go ahead.
Thank you.
So, like, you have different services. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you go to my website, too, I have an event page, and I'm going to be doing a live event on September 11th that I'm enrolling now, and it's a very, there's not a lot of room. It's a small event, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, get on in there. That's a 5-hour deep dive into your creative business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the event page. Yeah, yeah. And also I have a page I call Podcasts Galore that has all of my transmissions from when I was doing shows on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Oh, wonderful.
On recording on Audio Boom. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have to listen to one of those. Yeah. And you have a creative come on!
Oh, the Creative Entrepreneur Success Club, baby!
What's that about? That sounds great.
Well, it's on hiatus for the summer. It's going to be starting up in the fall. It is a rolling group. Actually, you can jump in anytime. And it is group coaching, essentially. I do 3 webinars a month. I do some mindset and marketing teaching, but then most of it is coaching,
mm-hmm.
people coming with their stuff.
Do the enrollees get to meet each other, either online or?
Well, I do a quarterly emergence, is what I call actually that's the thing that I open. That's why enrollment is so limited, because it's really for the people in the Creative Entrepreneur Club. It's free to them because it's part of their program.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying.
That's part of their program.
Oh, see, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
That sounds really good, and it's probably a little cheaper than the one-on-ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I make it available. It's $200 a month.
Oh, good. Wow. That's